Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Derek Shelton Show is brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you now, there will be soon. And we welcome in the manager of the Pirates, Derek Shelton, for his weekly appearance. And Derek, I mean, some guys, they seem to have a very cushy life, as it's just me again this week, as Joe is off again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, this is much. I mean, I've been doing this show for 5 years, and I listened to Starkey talk about Cook. Did he just like transform into his contract where he works like one day a week? I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm starting to believe it because I'm looking at the schedule, saying, "Wait a minute, this is the Starkey show, and I'm doing all these solo shows for him." But this is about the third week in a row. You haven't been. Blessed with his presence, and so hopefully...
Well, I don't know. You can use that term very, very loosely in terms of blessed with his presence. The situation that's going to run into is that we're going to do this show a week from now or 2 weeks from now, and he's going to want to recap like a whole month, and we should not allow him to do that. He can't ask like questions from things that happened like 3 weeks ago if he's not going to attend the. If he's not going to attend the show.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Well, we start with there are a lot of questions. And, of course, before you come on, we put some questions out to, we allow texters to text us some questions for you that they have. And the one that seems to be pressing on most people's minds is do you know what your pitching rotation is going to be like the next 4 or 5 days? I know you've got some guys hurt and you've got some guys to move around. And I'm looking at, and I don't have the official game notes in front of me, but I have the online version of what, and it looks like there's a couple of holes in your pitching rotation. So can you update us on that?
Yeah. Well, Fleming's going to open for us today. And then I think we'll kind of go from there. And then we have Perez and Skeens. Ortiz will make another start in the Chicago series with where we're going, and then Mitchell pitch. We do have the one day open, and we have not decided yet. I think we have a bunch of different options. You know, we have some people in the minor leagues. We have some people on rehab. We could bullpen day again. But I think, you know, Louis will definitely get another start. He's pitched really well. Mitch will get another start. Skeens and Perez, obviously. You know, today we'll go with Flem and then go from there. But we do have the one day that we have to fill, and I think we're going to try to get through, you know, the Milwaukee series and see where we're at, and then we can have a better idea of making a decision on what we're going to do.
Well, if Ortiz is going to be a starter, which by the way he's earned the right because he's pitched really well, will that mean you have to maybe back up Fleming tonight with a couple of guys, as opposed to, you know, being able to go Fleming and then Ortiz hopefully covers 5 or 6 innings?
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, there's a possibility we could add someone in that spot too today to make sure we have a bulk role. And then I think the big one's going to be the day in Chicago, just seeing where we're at. And I think to your point, Louis's done a really good job. He deserves another start. I mean, he's pitched well. And we're going to come off the break, and, you know, at some point we're going to get Jared back. We're going to get Bailey back. Marco Gonzalez is out on rehab right now, and he will be back. You know, Barucci's out on rehab. Bednar's out on rehab, although, you know, those guys aren't going to start. But I think our pitching over the course of the next couple of weeks, there's a possibility of a lot of different moving parts that you know, could kind of adjust us.
So would you anticipate Marco Gonzalez could be back before the break, or do you anticipate probably after the break?
Yeah, I think we would anticipate more after the break. I mean, he has a scheduled start on Friday in Indianapolis. So just kind of see how he feels coming off his last start. I mean, it was four and a third, I think, 60-plus pitches. And I think we'll have to see where our pitching's at, too, how he's feeling. I mean, there's so many factors that come into play when you're making those decisions.
Obviously, there's no question. You have so many guys, and as you said, moving parts. You have Quinn Priester down. Beyond him, Derek, do you have a couple of other options beyond him that you feel like are guys that could help you from the minor leagues if you get into a pinch and maybe some of these guys don't get back as quickly as you anticipate?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, we have in our AAA rotation, we have Domingo Herman, we have Ashcraft. You know, we have different options, and that's not saying those are guys that we're going to go to, but we do have options of people that are either on our roster, have pitched in the big leagues, and then, you know, you have Marco, like you said, you have Priester. So our pitching depth has been hit a little bit when you lose two starters like that, but I do feel that we have other people down there that, you know, if we get into a position that we need to go get, we definitely have the ability to go get.
Yeah, the one thing that, and I think you were talking about this, maybe it was Ben Sherrington the other day, was that when it comes to pitching injuries, you guys, I mean, every team has plans to try and keep these guys healthy. You all have rest programs. You have recovery programs. Obviously, you have the technology with workouts and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, guys are going to get injured. It's just one of those things where you can't, you know, have a 100% foolproof plan, right?
No, there's no foolproof plan. And I think if any team had figured that out, then there wouldn't be pitching injuries for that organization. And we're seeing it throughout the game now in every organization. And I know at times we've done things where we've given guys rest or we've skipped or, you know, we've bulked guys. I think we're trying to do what we feel is best. And to say that's 100% right, I don't think that's fair because we don't have all the answers. You know, we're learning every day. And then, you know, it's situations where you see guys pitch for X amount of years and never get hurt, and then they get hurt, and you see guys never get hurt, or you see guys get hurt multiple times. I don't think anybody has the right answer to this, and we're going to continue to try to figure out what's best for the Pirates as we move forward with pitching. But, you know, I think Ben made the point the other day, and he's 100% right. Like, you can never have enough pitching depth, and, you know, we're getting tested a little bit on that right now.
The last week, I mean, obviously you finished on a high note by beating the Mets yesterday, but overall your homestand was 3-4. You were against two teams that you were kind of, you know, that you're kind of trailing in the standings. Do you guys, you know, see that as sort of a missed opportunity? I mean, I know it's such a long season, you probably don't break it down the way that those of us on the outside do, but do you kind of see it as sort of a missed opportunity when you had an opportunity to gain some ground on some teams?
Yeah, we did have an opportunity. I mean, I think you take out the first St. Louis game, the first night against St. Louis game, we played really well. I mean, we won a game in a walk-off. We lost a game in extra innings. I mean, I think the one that you know, is a little bit, you know, frustrating or hurts a little bit was Sunday. We were one pitch away from winning, and then, you know, we would end up winning that Mets series 3-4, you know, because the first night we really swung the bats well, and then yesterday we bounced back. But I think the game that kind of sits in my crawl a little bit over that series is the Sunday game, because we battled back and got two in the eighth off Diaz, and then just were not able to finish it.
Well, and I think, you know, that was – obviously, you went to Chapman in the ninth. It just looked, you know, again, from afar, it just looked like he couldn't really locate the strike zone, and that's when he sort of gets in trouble, right, when he starts walking guys or when he's a little bit wild.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's we've seen it in situations where he hasn't had command of the strike zone at all. I mean, in this one, he had command until two strikes and then just was not able to finish guys, and I think that's the frustrating thing is we started – you know, we started the inning with an 0-2 count to Alvarez and ended up walking him. I mean, then we're 1-2 to Iglesias, one pitch away from getting out of it after he punched out the Vientos and Torrens, the pinch hitter. And we get a 1-2 count, and we couldn't get the last strike. And I think that's what was, you know, like I said, the thing that was the most frustrating.
Yeah, and then when you have to, you know, when you have to take him out of the game, that obviously – maybe changes some of your plans for the next day, right? Because you got to use a guy that you anticipated using.
Yeah, in normal states it would. And then yesterday, I mean, we were very fortunate because Mitch gave us eight strong. So we were able to save our bullpen with the exception of Honeywell because we were able to add on runs late. But, yeah, I think that plays a large part in it, that you end up having to use people you don't want to use.
Right. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, the other thing that happened, I think it was in that game, was you had Michael A. Taylor, you left the bunt sign on with two strikes, and I think it happened a couple of times over the weekend. That's obviously, it didn't work out, so it's something that we're going to talk about, you know, in the world of talk radio. From your perspective, do you kind of feel like he's good enough in those situations that you trust that he would be able to get a bunt down even with two strikes?
Yeah, I mean, we have to execute in those situations. I mean, you know, Jack gets the pinch hit, base hit, and, you know, fortunately in that situation, we end up scoring two runs. I mean, Kutch had a base hit, and then Brian had a really good at bat, and we scored two runs in that inning. But, I mean, those are situations that we have to execute, especially with guys at the bottom of our order.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that's one of those things where, he did it twice, so of course it becomes magnified. Overall, you've got, I don't know, something maybe like you got these six games and then maybe another, 12 to 14 or whatever until the trade deadline. I know in years past with the Pirates, they've basically said, you know, that they would wait until up to the trade deadline to see, you know, how you're going to sort of move forward. And given that and where you're at in the standings, do you kind of feel like you have to make a move in the standings over the next, you know, 15 to 16 games to sort of show the front office that, you know, maybe they need to go and give you some help?
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think our front office is always talking. I mean, and I'm very aware that they have been talking over the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks about things that can help our club make us better. I know Ben's always focused on that. The fact that everybody's so bunched up, I think the next 2 or 3 weeks are going to be important and to see where it is. I do think the other thing is the climate of the trade deadline. Because of the fact that so many people are bunched up, it's going to be one that's challenging because the asking prices could be different when you have seven or eight teams. So I think we have to make sure that we do what's best for us. And if we have the ability to add to our group in a way that we feel is best for our organization, we will do that. And I know Ben is always out there, you know, having those conversations and has been having those conversations. And, you know, we haven't seen a lot of activity yet, not only with the Pirates, but within the game. So it's going to be interesting to see how the next 2 weeks play out.
Well, that's, like I said, there have been times when the Pirates have surged right before the trade deadline and the front office went out and got some guys. And then there have been times when they, you know, struggled. And so they were able, they sold some assets. I think your team is in a little bit of a different situation from the standpoint of there are probably a couple of guys that you could, you know, to use the phrase sell off, that wouldn't necessarily be, you know, like selling or giving up on the season, but would bring back some assets that might help you win. I mean, is that a tricky line sort of to toe?
I think it's a tricky line, but I think the bottom line ultimately is whatever's going to make our team better is, you know, the way that we're going to approach it. So, you know, it's a situation where you number one, you have to have two to tango in terms of what you're going to do. But the second thing is if we feel we can make our team better, then I'm sure Ben is going to be willing to listen.
Yeah. Now there was a report from John Parada that says that basically Ben's basically been told that there's no from above that there's no money to add players to. Is this something that the climate is, or what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, and it's been the same way that I've been in the 5 years I've been here, that every conversation that that Ben has had within the group that we've had, you know, ability to make our team better. And that's the way it's been consistent. That's the conversations we've had. That's the way that we will continue to operate. So I think, you know, in Ben's case, he has the ability to make our team better if he feels fit. And if that is the case, you know, I trust that we will do that. I mean, we've made, you know, I mean, I think you look like you're talking about trades. I mean, we got Colin Holderman a couple years ago in a good trade for us for Daniel Vogelbach. Like, you know, I mean, we're talking about one of the better leverage relievers in the game, and Ben made a really good move there. So I think if we have the opportunity to make us better and Ben likes the deal, then we will do it.
You had two guys that were named to the All-Star game. Obviously, Paul Skeens, you know, is what he is, and Reynolds is being rewarded for an incredible season, or at least an incredible 7 weeks. I mean, he's had a good season, but the last 7 weeks, he's been on a different planet. When you look at Skeens, you know, you've been around the game a long time. I mean, a rookie like that, and there's discussion that he might actually start the game. You know, just can you kind of put into proper perspective how good he's been so soon?
Well, I think, I mean, we're seeing something that's historic that was happening. I mean, I think he was drafted on, you know, July 9th of last year, and on July 7th this year we found out, or whatever, I don't know if the dates are right, that he's made the All-Star game. It's something that's never happened in the history of the game, especially with a 1-1. I think it just speaks to, you know, how good a job that our baseball ops group did in terms of identifying he was the guy to get. And then, you know, a guy, to your earlier point, we talk a lot about pitching and pitching development. And I know people were critical of like what we did with him early in the year, but we needed to make sure he was healthy to get to the big leagues. And we needed to make sure that he was going to have the innings once he got here and he was going to be able to pitch. And I think as he's been here, he's pitched what, 7 innings, 3 or 4 times. And, you know, he's done a really good job. So it's surprising because you'd never seen it happen, but this kid's extremely talented. And I mean, he's special. And I think we're seeing something that's really special that's happened. And he's very deserving to be in the All-Star game.
No, absolutely. I mean, and you in Reynolds, I mean, he, the month of June that he had, where he, well, it was a 25, 26 game hitting streak, where there were some games where you just couldn't pitch to him. And it seems like he's continued. I mean, it's not like he's like cold off. Is this just sort of a player that really now is really starting to come into his own?
Yeah, I think he deserves to be an All-Star. I mean, if you look at his numbers compared to other National League outfielders, in most major categories, he's going to rank in the top five. If you rank in the top five in offensive categories, you deserve to be an All-Star. And I think what we're seeing with Brian is just the steadiness. You know, I mean, he got off to a little bit of a rough start and then bounced back the month of June. I mean, every at bat, it seemed like he was locked in. I mean, even, you know, he, after the streak ended, I think he went 2 days without a hit and then, you know, is back to having multiple good at bats. I mean, the inning that started yesterday when we got 5 runs with 2 outs, nobody on, and, you know, he walks to start that and start a 2-out rally. So yeah, I mean, the things that separate him is why he's an All-Star.
You had a couple other guys that you thought might be able to make a case for All-Star. I know, I mean, Mitch Keller is one that has been talked about. He's clearly had a good season. Was there any other guys that you thought might have gotten a shot?
Well, yeah, like I think, like I pointed out, I think Holderman's been one of the better leverage relievers in the game. I mean, I know he's had a tough last couple outings, but he really has had he's really had a good season, and that's a hard position to make it in. I mean, you have to be extremely elite. There's very few leverage relievers that make the club. And then in Mitch's case, I mean, honestly, and I've said it publicly over the last couple of days, I think, you know, when we talk about snubs are overlooked, I definitely think he's overlooked. I mean, he has 10 wins before the break. I mean, what he did yesterday, going out and throwing 8 strong innings, that's what All-Stars do. I mean, he's actually got better numbers than he had last year when he made the All-Star team. So, you know, understand that there's a lot of good pitchers in the National League, and not showing any disrespect towards them, but I really feel strongly that Mitch Keller should have been an All-Star this year.
When you look at what Rowdy Tellez has done, can you remember in recent history somebody who's had such an incredibly dramatic change? Not only was he a guy who was struggling at the plate – You know, he had the situation where early in the season where he jumped in on a Bednar thing and basically, you know, told fans they shouldn't boo, which put a target on his back. And so when he was struggling, he was getting booed and all that other stuff, to now where he's one of your best hitters. And also he's a fan favorite that's getting curtain calls and having people, you know, chant his name and all that stuff. Can you, I am having a hard time remembering somebody who so quickly and so dramatically changed the narrative on himself like he has.
No, I do think it's a rare thing. And you know, it's honestly a very cool thing, because to your point, I mean, a month and a half ago, people were booing him and they, you know, every chance they got. And then I do think that they, you know, kind of lifted him on their back the one game where they started to chant and he hit the homer. And since then, he's taken off. And I think the one biggest thing about it is Rowdy never changed. You know, he never changed. He was always accountable to what was going on, to the fact that he was struggling. He continued to work. And the thing that stands out is I think our fans appreciated that. You know, I mean, you know, they were frustrated with the performance, and Rowdy was frustrated with the performance, and so were we, but he never changed. And I really appreciate that our fans kind of have noticed that, stayed with him, and now, you know, they're supporting him, because, I mean, he's a guy that you root for. He's a guy that gives it every day, and, you know, throughout every single month this year, regardless of where he's going, he stayed the same guy.
Last one, Derek, as long as I can remember, Milwaukee has been a place where you guys have just, it's been sort of like the Pirates' kryptonite has been playing in Milwaukee. What is it about that place that's made it so difficult for you guys to, you know, in particular, and what do you got to do to try and reverse that?
Yeah, well, I think the thing that's been the toughest for us is their pitching has been so good for so long. I mean, they've really done a good job of developing young pitchers, having good young starters. So, you know, we need to get in here today. We need to get after Colin Ray and get this road trip off to a good start.
Derek, thank you so much. Hopefully next week Joe will be off the golf course and maybe will join us. If not, I guess we'll do it again next week, just you and I.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right, there you go. It's Derek Shelton, Pirates manager. Again, he answers every question you want answered. Regardless if you like his answers or not, he answers every question that you're going to ask him, and that's what I always appreciate about him.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.